The population looked to be a good mix of fillies and nannies and distributed throughout the range.
Brown bear, moose, and most of goat season opens this week for Lynn Canal hunters, and an annual gathering helps people get through the loss of a loved one. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more just ahead. The Haynesboro Assembly voted to go ahead and demolish most of the old school, but chose to preserve the old gym and some classrooms for renovation. They met in a special meeting last Thursday. Haynes manager Mark Ernest.
The Assembly approved the resolution as it was drafted, and that would be to fund the demolition of the older portions of the building. You know, those are the ones that I think were the oldest, and you know, I think everybody agreed it was important to proceed with that at this time.
The borough is expecting to spend some money, perhaps in the ballpark of $2.5 million, to renovate those structures that will be left standing after this year's demolition. The Assembly has asked for plans and ideas for the future of that site.
That's a considerable amount of money, but to replace the square footage of those facilities and basically to have a new structure of that size was in the order of about $4 million plus. So it is, you know, quite a bit of money, but, you know, to replace it would be even more. So we are going to be spending some time and effort here this fall and winter to see if we can come up with some recommendations and a plan for renovating and then using those structures.
The Borough Comprehensive Plan includes an evaluation of borough facilities, a guideline that Ernest hopes will help the government decide what to do with the extra space. He adds the public will also play a role in the decision.
This would be one of those facilities that we'll be taking a hard look at. We are in the process of doing an assessment, an updated assessment on the borough facilities, buildings, and other infrastructure, but with an eye on consolidating some of the borough facilities and see if there are some areas that we can look at that would result in some cost savings in terms of maybe consolidation and centralization of, you know, services in the community. But again, this is going to be a part of the comprehensive plan process. But it is something that we have identified as one of the priorities, and we'll be working on that.
Goat season's already open in some parts of the Lynn Canal, with the majority of the hunt opening this week. The southern portion of the unit opened August 1st and closes December 31st, but most of the designated goat hunting area around Clequan, Haynes, and Skagway opens to mountain goat hunting Wednesday, September 15th.
And so far the population looks pretty good.
Anthony Krupe with Fish and Game has been busy conducting the annual goat population surveys this month on the area that's opening Wednesday.
So we do our aerial surveys from a fixed-wing aircraft, and so far we've completed the survey on Toxinuck Ridge, and there was about a 20% kid ratio, and the population looked to be a good mix of fillies and nannies and distributed throughout the range.
But some of those goats won't look quite like the others this year. Almost two dozen goats around the Lynn Canal have new radio collars on them as part of a research project through the Bureau of Land Management.
So we started a three-year mountain goat study with a joint project between the Bureau of Land Management and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Earlier this summer, we captured 23 mountain goats. There were 10 females and 13 billies, and the study area includes all of Unit 1D. Most of the captures took place along the Chilcat, Chilcoot, and Ferebee Rivers.
Being goat season, hunters should know that the meat of recently tranquilized goats could be temporarily poisonous.
And if a hunter were to harvest a radio-collared goat, we ask that they call us before they consume the meat. The meat would be toxic within a certain time period after it's been tranquilized. So we ask hunters first to avoid shooting a collared animal since it's such a time and costly endeavor. This research project should go on for the next 3 years. But if a hunter does harvest a radio-collared mountain goat, we ask that they call Fish and Game before they consume any of the meat to make sure that it's healthy for humans.
The study aims to get a better representation of mountain goat populations on BLM lands and to add to Fish and Game's ongoing research on southeast mountain goat habitat in areas like Sitka and Ketchikan.
Trying to get a better idea on what mountain goat populations are on their lands, and Fish and Game has been extensively researching mountain goats, and so this will add to our knowledge of mountain goat habitat use and survivability in this interesting terrain.
Krupe adds that hunters are legally required to return any radio collars and any tags to the Department of Fish and Game.
These mountain goats are equipped with GPS collars so that we can track their movement throughout the season as well as throughout the day.
The goat hunt works on a point system, with nannies or female goats counting double the points that billies are worth. When the prescribed points are reached, the area closes to hunting.
So as we continue on to manage the hunt, we try to encourage hunters to take billies. It works on a point system where a billy is worth 1 point and a nanny is worth 2 points, and given a certain allocation for each different area, then we can decide when the harvest has reached our guideline harvest level.
Permits for goat hunts are available through the Haines Fish and Game Office at the Haines Highway and Main Street Junction, or on the web.
So hunters may come to the Fish and Game Office or apply online for mountain goat hunting permits for RG024, and that hunt starts on September 15th.
The area known as the Skagway Pie also opens September 15th for a second year for bow hunting only. It closes November 15th. However, a proposal is with the Board of Game to extend that season to match the rest of the area. Acceptance of that proposal would prolong archery season in that area through the end of November. If you're still working through the death of a loved one, you're not alone.
It's been quite a heck of a year of losses in our valley. So lots of grief right now for people of lesser and greater degrees.
Liz Morantz-Falvey is the hospice grief facilitator. Each year, she meets with a group of people who are dealing with the muddled emotions that follow a loved one's death. This year's group, the eighth one in hospice history, starts this Thursday in Haines.
Hospice has a annual fall group that's held every year. It's a six-week group. We meet Thursdays from 6:30 to 8:30, and we'll be starting this Thursday the 16th.
She says grief is an often misunderstood process, one that some people ignore for years.
Grief is a tough one because it takes a lot of courage to grieve. Some people might feel like it's a sign of weakness, but actual grieving does take courage. Easier to sort of want to shove it under the covers and not deal. But the more we're able to face the varying emotions that come up in the grief process, fear, anger, sadness, all sorts of different feelings, the more we can just let them, you know, move through us, actually, the faster the grief process will pass by and we'll be able to move on in life and begin to feel some good feelings again. So the grief group is a chance to let people, each in their own unique way, experience their grief.
The grief process is scientific, even. Morantz-Falvey says theories about how humans deal with losing someone close to them have changed over the years.
20 years ago, when grief theory was really coming out, you know, that it was this set cycle, you know, of stages you go through. But it's a lot less black and white than that. You know, we all maybe move in and out and back and forth through different stages, but it's certainly not a linear progression, you know, between denial, shock, certainly at the beginning, to blaming, to keep some guilt in there. But it's really unique for everyone, and a lot of what happens in the group is a chance to really just normalize all those different feelings. I mean, there's even somatic feelings. Our bodies take on symptoms, and people can think they're going crazy, you know, and get a rash or something. It's just possibly that grief isn't being allowed to move through them, and they're kind of holding it inside.
And it's one progression that everyone handles differently and at different times after the death, she adds. Similarly, the grief group experience is different for everyone. Liz suggests calling her in advance of the class to talk more about what to expect out of the group. Her number is 303-7036.
A group setting isn't always for everybody, but I think as facilitator, I try to make it work for everybody. It's not about sitting around a circle and crying, because, you know, that's not everybody's experience. So we have different activities that we do, and allowing a lot of different ways to experience grief.
Hospice says the group is open to any adults, no matter how long ago the loss was or who the past person or pet was.
It can be a lonely experience. If we find it hard to reach out and ask for support, some of us, you know, have enough support, but often people, friends, family members don't really know how to support us well because we want to just make the person feel better. So we might change the subject or not be comfortable bringing up a loved one's name and, you know, feel comfortable. And often people grieving feel like they've talked enough about their loss and they don't think other people want to hear about it anymore. And the group is a chance to get to talk story about your loved one and really get to complete that grief cycle.
For the first year, Hospice is simultaneously running a youth grief group for kids who are working through the loss of a loved one. That group also meets Thursday nights for 6 weeks. Marantz Falvey suggests asking a grieving friend if it's okay to give their phone number to Hospice for contact, or people interested in joining one of the groups or the Grief Buddy program, call Liz Marantz Falvey with Hospice at 303-7036. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. You can get your news every evening, every morning, or online anytime you want. Just go to khns.org and click on the Listen tab.